were searching for my name today. I saw you standing there. Man, you look different with that silver in your hair. Me, I haven't aged a bit, still all of 21. That's the thing about us spirits, we're forever young at the wall. Here at the wall, we were proud to serve our country.
Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is my third and final series on the war in Vietnam, titled A Letter is a Living Voice. We will be reading letters and documents written by Vietnam veterans. These letters show all the emotions of war, from fear to anger, love, and fellowship. These are only opinions of the writers of the documents, and not those of the voice of Vashon or the readers. So it's important also to let you know, this is kind of an addendum to this third series. And we are going to be talking about the wall. The wall, of course, is the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in D.C. And I don't know if any of you have been back there in D.C. to see it. They've had some memorials that they move around the country that are kind of a replica. But I've been back there when I took graduate students. And I just think that it's just an amazing memorial. And so we'll talk about a little bit about history of it, how it was decided. And then we're also going to have a second part when we talk about statistics and some of the groups of people that are on that wall. There are both men and women, and that's important. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial, it was commonly called the Vietnam Memorial, is a U.S. national memorial in Washington, D.C., honoring service members of the U.S. Armed Forces who served in the Vietnam War. It's actually almost 2 acres that the entire memorial takes up, and it's dominated by two black granite walls engraved with those of the names of those service members who died or remain missing as a result of their service in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. So some of them may have been killed in other countries like Cambodia, but they all are service-related injuries. The wall was completed in 1982 and has since been supplemented with the statue Three Soldiers, which is right in the same grounds area. And that was put in 1984. And the Vietnam Women's Memorial, which was put in 1993. The memorial is called the Constitution Gardens, and it's adjacent to the National Mall and just northeast of the Lincoln Memorial. It's maintained by the National Park Service and receives around 3 million, think about that, 3 million visitors every year. And when I've been back there, it has, again, it's, unless you've been there, it's really hard to describe. But it's very somber, very solemn. People are very quiet. Some people are making carbon scrapings of names that are on the wall. Some people leave items at the wall. And the Museum of U.S. History has a display where they have taken things that have been left at the wall. Tons of flowers, but also very personal items. Some people have left their purple hearts, They've left letters to people that never got to those people because they passed away or were killed in combat. Or they are even things like a carton of Marlboro cigarettes or a fifth of Jack Daniels. Even though these things seem kind of silly, they are very important and very earth-shaking to the people who left them. The memorial itself was designed by an American architect. Her name was Maya Lin, and that was in 2007. It was ranked 10th on the list of America's favorite architecture by the American Institute of Architects as a national memorial, and it's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And there was quite a bit of controversy because she was Vietnamese. But again, I think if you see this, you will realize how well it fits in. The memorial is composed of two adjoining walls. Each wall is 246 feet, 9 inches long, and it's composed of 72 black granite panels that are polished to a high finish. 70 of the panels on each wall are inscribed with the names of the men and women being honored. The walls taper from 8 inches, and that would be on each end, 8 inches tall at their extremities to 10.1 feet, top of the apex where they meet, their bottom edges descending below the level of the surrounding earth where the top edges stay level. And what they've done is they've written the names of the persons who have died in Vietnam. And of course, when you start out on the left side, there were very few people killed in the first years. And then it really goes up to the point in 1968, when the most people were killed in Vietnam in combat. And then it tapers again down to the end of the war, which was April 30th, 1975, when the war in Vietnam was officially over. And it's interesting to note that this is symbolic of a wound that is closed and healing and exemplifies the land art movement of the 60s, which produced primarily sculptures that sought to reconnect with the natural environment. The stone for the 144 panels was quarried in Bangalore, India. So that's where they got all of the granite. One wall points to the Washington Monument, the other to the Lincoln Memorial, meeting at the angle of 125 degrees. And each wall has 72 panels and 70 listing names numbered 1E through 70E. And that's important to mention. There are some very small blank panels at the extremities, and a pathway for visitors extends along the base of the wall. Because there are persons that have been missing in action, and even now there are people looking for human remains that can be identified through DNA if possible. And so there are people that are missing in action that can still potentially wind up on the wall. So it's, I guess you could say it's not a done deal. The names on the wall originally were numbering 57,939 when it was dedicated in 82. And additional names have been added throughout the years. As of May 2018, there are 58,320 names. The number on the names on the wall differ from other counts of U.S. Vietnam War deaths. Directions of the name and their locations are located on, there's podiums, they're little kiosks, and you can look up names and figure out which panel they're on. The memorial has had some unforeseen maintenance issues. In 1984, cracks were detected in the granite, and so several of the panels were replaced. But again, they tried to do keep as much of the original stone and granite as they possibly could. And so even these panels that were damaged, there were some damaged during an earthquake, a minor earthquake in 2011. They still keep these stones very revered, and they are in storage at the Quantico Marine Base. One panel of the wall displaying some of the names of the fallen U.S. service members from the in the Vietnam War. It's inscribed on the memorial are the names of the service members who were classified as dead, missing, or prisoners. The list includes names of individuals who died due to circumstances other than killed in action, including murder, vehicle accidents, drowning, heart attack, animal attack, such as snake bites. There was a snake that was very, very poisonous that was called the two-step, or that was kind of the nickname of the snake, because it said if you were bitten by this snake, you took two steps, and that's as far as you got. Also, because of the climate in Vietnam, there are numerous other animals, spiders, that are poisonous. And because it's such a humid climate, things that were referred to as jungle rot, which is almost like a extreme form of athlete's foot because you're in moisture all the time. All those things and also took a toll. Those who were confirmed as dead are denoted by a diamond shape next to the name. And those who are status unknown are denoted with a cross sign. When the death of one who was previously missing is confirmed, a diamond is superimposed over the cross. And when you think about it, 58,320, I mean, we think about that as just a number. But if there have been times when they have listed all the names, one a minute, and can you imagine how long that would take to list those names? 58,320 minutes. I don't know exactly how that all figures out, but it would be a long time. So those are some things. The earliest date of eligibility, and this would kind of surprise you, for a name to be included on the memorial is November 1st, 1955, which corresponds to when President Eisenhower deployed the Military Assistance Advisory Group. It sounds like a government group, doesn't it? To train the Army of the Republic of Vietnam. So Eisenhower in 55 actually sent troops into Vietnam to train them in 1955. The last date of eligibility is May 15th, 1975, which corresponds to the final day of the Mayaguez incident. And that was actually after the official war was over. The names are listed in chronological order, starting at the apex and going that other, the opposite end. There are circumstances that allow for a name to be added to the memorial, but the death must be directly attributed to a wound received within the combat zone while on active duty. The determination of addition is made by the Department of Defense. In these cases, a name is added accordingly to the date of injury, not to the date of death. And also there were 32 men who were erroneously included in the memorial. And while those names remain on the wall, they have been removed from the database. The extra names resulted from a deliberate decision to err on the side of inclusiveness, with 38 questionable naming that were included. One person whose name was added as late as 1992 had gone AWOL, or absent without leave, immediately upon his return to the United States after the second completed tour of duty. His survival only came to the attention of government authorities in 1996. So I think there are still some questions, and there are also some families who have asked for additional names to be put on the wall that died offshore or in other types of accidents. There are 8 women's names included in the memorial: Eleanor Grace Alexander, Pamela Dorothy Donovan, Carol Ann Drasba, Annie Ruth Graham, Elizabeth Ann Jones, Mary Teresa Klinker, Sharon Ann Lane, and Hedwig Diane Orenwowski. And they were all nurses. At that time, we did not have a military that included women who were involved in combat. There was also a group called Donut Dollies, who were actually employed by the Red Cross, and they were women who went out to landing zones, to dangerous areas, and were there for troop morale. They served donuts. They played games. They read letters, talked to servicemen. And there were quite a few of those. We've interviewed some of those in our earlier interviews. And I think there was also several of the Donut Dollies that died as a result of actions. One of the Donut Dollies sent a picture to me where they're in a fire base, and there's about 6 of them in the picture, and they are all in towels in a bunker. They had just taken showers when the camp had started to get bombed, and so they were all told to get out of the showers and get into the bunker. It's also important to mention that there are a couple other statues there. One is called 3 Servicemen, and this is also a very emotional statue. It's bronze. It's a component of the memorial, and it's located maybe 50 yards from the wall when I saw it. It's called the 3 Soldiers, or sometimes 3 Servicemen. The work depicts 3 soldiers. 2 are purposely identifiable as European American and African American, while the 3rd is intended to represent all other ethnic groups in America in their final arrangement. The statue and the wall appear to interact and the one another with the soldiers looking on in solemn tribute at the names of the fallen comrades. I've seen the statue, and one of the soldiers is wounded, and the other people are helping them. There also is a Vietnam Women's Memorial, and it's called the Vietnam Women's Memorial is what it's called. It's dedicated to the women of the United States who served in the Vietnam War. And again, we did interview one woman in our first series who was a nurse and worked with neurological surgeries in the Vietnam War. Many times these nurses were also out in areas that were very dangerous. It depicts three uniformed women with a wounded soldier. And it's also on the National Mall. And it was authorized by separate legislation. There is also a memorial plaque authorized by an act of Congress. And it was dedicated November 10th, 2004, at the northeast corner of the plaza, surrounding the three soldier statue to honor veterans who died at the war as a result of injuries suffered in Vietnam, but who fall outside of the Department of Defense guideline. And it's a carved block of black granite inscribed in memory of the men and women who served in the Vietnam War and later died as a result of the service. We honor and remember their sacrifice. One of the things about this is that these were people that had serious injuries, could be spinal cord injuries, could be very traumatic brain injuries, died several years later. There is also a movement because so many Vietnam veterans now are being overcome by the effects of Agent Orange, that some of those, there is a movement to include some of those persons. And there is actually one Vietnam vet has started a Agent Orange memorial. That's back east, and so that's also important to remember. There is one of the rituals that happens is that visitors to the memorial may take a piece of paper and place it over a name on the wall, and rub a wax crayon or a graphite pencil over it as a memento to the loved ones. And this is called rubbing. Visitors to the memorial begin leaving sentimental items, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, at the memorial at its opening. They still continue leaving objects. Even today, after the dedication of the memorial. One story claims that this practice began during construction when a Vietnam veteran threw the Purple Heart his brother received posthumously into the concrete of the memorial's foundation. So that's kind of interesting. Several thousand items are left at the memorial each year, several thousand. The largest item left at the memorial was a sliding glass storm door with a full-size replica tiger cage. The door was painted with a scene from Vietnam and the name of U.S. POWs and MIAs from the conflict. And just so you know, a tiger cage is a very, very small bamboo almost like a, it would almost look like a dog kennel, but it's very small. There's not room to stand up. There's not room to move around. And it's important that that also was included. And you can actually see that. I did see that tiger cage at the Museum of American History. When they, there was, we mentioned too that there was a lot of opposition to building this. The selected design was controversial, in particularly due to its black color and its lack of ornamentation. In other words, it's so plain it doesn't have any much in the way of, I guess what you would call fancy added things to it. Two prominent early supporters of the project, you may remember H. Ross Perot, good old H. Ross Perot, who ran for president, and also President Ronald Reagan delayed issuing a building permit for the memorial due to the political opposition. Since its early years, criticism of the memorial design faded in the word of Scruggs, it says here, it has become something of a shrine. Negative reactions to Maya Lin's design created a controversy, too, as she was Vietnamese. Opponents of Lin's design wanted to place the sculpture of three soldiers at the apex of the two walls to make the soldiers the focal point of the memorial and the wall a mere backdrop. And in the end of the sculpture was placed in the entry plaza. Building, just to let you know, here's some basic information. On March 11th, 82, the revised design was formally approved. And on March 26th, 1982, the ground was formally broken. As we mentioned, stone from Bangalore, India, was chosen because of its reflective quality. And typesetting of the 57,939 names on the wall was done at that time. The negatives used in the process are in storage at the Smithsonian Institute. So that was all taken care of. So that gives you some basic information. We are going to go and we are going to have one show after this looking at specific statistics of the people that are on the wall. So thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another presentation.
When you were searching for my name today, I saw you standing there. Man, you look different with that silver in your